Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Chaplain Teresa Plines of the Catholic community. It is the second Sunday of Lent. The readings are from Cycle B.
Predictable is not what these readings are about. There's lots of drama this Sunday. I've been away for most of the week at a conference, and then you come back and you have these texts to wrestle with. I thought, thanks. Thanks a lot. There is lots of drama. The texts that I got to wrestle with, and you are now hearing and wrestling with, there's a directive for a child sacrifice, and a blindingly clothed Messiah destined for his own sacrifice. Not the easiest things to wrap our heads around. They're not our daily average experiences. So I think it's easy to get lost in that drama and think that we have no place to rest our own story within these stories. The story of Abraham is horrific. I found myself hoping that I could speak after hearing it. What kind of a God commands the sacrifice of a child? A beloved child. And what kind of a father follows a command like that? What kind of a God offers up a child, a beloved child, a child of their own? What kind of a father follows such a command as this? The paradox of violence and mercy and sacrifice and redemption that are found in these scriptures, they sit pregnant at the core of our faith. And it's dangerous to our faith to oversimplify them, to create God in our own image. Because we'd like these scriptures to say something else. But it doesn't say that. It says, Abraham took the knife. Abraham bound his son to the sacrificial altar. That's what it says. The ancient Israelites, the people that were wandering through the desert, they felt temptation often to recreating God in the image that they wanted. They complained for lack of water, and God provided. They complained for lack of food, and God provided. And then they complained about the food that God provided. And then they switched gods. Remember the golden calf? This God, they could control. They created that God out of their dissatisfaction. Do you think God was pleased? They had managed to trap God into being some sort kitchen waiter or something. And they completely miss the message about the promised land. I do this all the time in my life. I could be out wandering around in that desert with those folks. I would completely identify with them. I'd want food, I'd want water, and I'd want the food the way that I wanted it. Because much of my prayer takes on that form of, please God, could you do this? Please God, please could you do this? Or please God, could we make this happen or this such and such happen? And God has then become my personal kitchen waiter. And it's safe. And I can control that. And the message of the promised land is pushed far, far away. Sometimes where I don't even think about it. They're sacrificed on my altars that I've constructed to my idols of things like being organized and my lack of self-imagination. It's just safer that way. The problem is, of course, that life is not safe. I look out here and I see people that I know who have sat beside their spouses and helped them die. Life is not safe. I look out here and I see folks that I know who've buried their children. Life is not safe. If we're too afraid to let God lead us up that mountainside, if we're too careful about constructing God in our own images, then we won't be able to hear the end of the Abraham story. We'll stop at the beginning and say, no, this cannot be a God I believe in. This God is violent. No, it's not for me. We'll close it off at the very beginning, and we'll never leave our hearts open to the angel staying the knife of Abraham. We will never hear the mercy of God. Or if we flip the narrative around, if we've closed ourselves off from this story, will we ever recognize the angel's attempt at staying our hands? It's staying our own hands. Not just Abraham's, but ours. We go through life blindly thrusting knives through our relationships, our families, and our own souls. On our self-constructed altars, sacrificing to our self-made idols. And who will teach us mercy? Who will teach us mercy if we have recreated a God who is only safe? Can we know any true redemption? Who will carry us through hardship or disaster or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, all the things we hear about in that second reading? Who will carry us through dying children and divorcing parents and failed experiments and our broken hearts? If you are keeping vigil at your mother's or your father's bedside and they're dying, you don't need a kitchen waiter. You need a savior. If your only worth has become what you do and not who you are, you don't need a kitchen waiter. You need a savior. If your home is torn by violence, war, abuse, drugs, alcoholism, tornadoes, you don't need a kitchen waiter. You do need a savior. And if you are sitting here wondering what on earth your life is about and where it should be headed, you do not need a kitchen waiter. You need a savior. God may indeed be a paradox, and it would be wise for us to live within the mystery of this paradox. No one can explain what happened up on that mountain. On either mountains we heard about today, you can't scientifically rationalize it. It's a mystery. We can live in that. We don't need to know everything. We know enough. We know that God is faithful. We know that God is merciful. And we know that God loved the world so much that he sent his only son to redeem. One of our very youngest community members taught me a very wise lesson. As I struggled with these readings, I heard his voice over and over again. He put it on a little post-it note and attached it to his pillow. And this little boy comes to the morning mass all the time. And he has more, he learns differently than most of us. And he has more struggles in his young life than probably most of us will ever face in ours. But what he put on that little post-it note is, God will always be with you. It wasn't the high drama of the transfiguration, but it was enough. God will always be with you, little one. And God will always be with each and every one of us.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu. This is Father Isaiah Mary Milano, OP, the Associate Director and Parochial Vicar of the Catholic Community at Stanford, and the voice of Catholic Cardinal Reflections. Till next time, God bless you.